episode of Learned, the podcast, with your hosts, Dr. John Paul and Kevin Allred.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Learned. I am Dr. John Paul.
And I'm Kevin Allred.
Hey, and welcome back, everybody, to a new episode.
Yes.
Yes, it's been a minute.
We always say that. Yeah. But it's always true.
Yeah, it really is. You know, so listeners, this is what happens. Sometimes we just don't feel like it. We just don't feel like it. And, you know, I know that there are other podcasts out there that are very consistent and making sure that even if it's, you know, bi-weekly that they get their episodes out. The both of us are out here hustling. And so sometimes we just don't, you know, sometimes we just don't get to it. So, you know, but we're
consistently inconsistent.
That seems to be the theme of 2020 with everybody. We are consistently inconsistent. So, sorry. However, we love you and we thank you for tuning in. Yes. How have you been, girl?
You know, good, I guess. Good. How have you been? I mean, it's like too much of a therapy session to go into. It's just like, we're all going to die. I mean, that's kind of been going through my head a lot lately. I tweet it every now and again, too. Like, I've been saying we're doomed for so long now, but yeah, we're all going to die.
Yeah, probably.
We got the coronavirus now. We're all going to die. Yeah.
And it's so interesting because it's like, you know, I would watch. So, for instance, I've been thinking a lot about, I forget the name of the movie, but there was a movie where a virus broke out and it was killing people. A couple of years ago, it came out. And I always tend to forget names of like movies and shows and stuff. But
was it Contagion?
I think that's what it was.
That one's a few years old, but there's probably others. I mean, there are definitely others too, but
yeah, I think it was Contagion. And now that I keep hearing about all the stuff with the coronavirus, it's like, I'm like, I hope that this isn't, you know, like, or even thinking about like that movie that Brad Pitt was in with the virus that broke out and was turning people into like zombies.
Oh, I didn't see that one, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's really scary. So it's just to think that's kind of what's happening, you know, is that people are catching this virus and are dying. It's a very, very unsettling thing. So.
Yeah, well, it's more scary that, like, complete bozos are in charge. Like, I wouldn't even be that. I'm not that worried about it. But it's like watching those bozos give the press conference.
Yeah.
Press conferences about it. And like, I just heard like a couple more people died today and it was just like, oh crap.
There's been a total, there's been a total of 6 people in the state of Washington who have died. So it's just, it's very unnerving. You know, I mean, the number, you know, people die genuinely. And I think that's the other thing too, is like, there's a pandemic around it because it's like, oh my gosh, you can catch it, you know, and it's airborne, but it's also like, you can also catch the flu and catch a cold from it being airborne. So it's like, it's kind of the same concept. It's just that they don't know how to stop the virus, and so that's the thing that's making everyone uncomfortable. But I also agree that everyone's gonna die, but you know, on the other end, I am also I'm still very, you know, I would say I'm very optimistic that things will get better. These last couple of weeks have been really good. I've been really, really busy. And even like right now, I'm thinking about all of the stuff that I have to do. And so it's just been a very busy year. Like, I felt like literally since the beginning of January, I have not really had a chance to like stop. So, it's just been a lot of good stuff. I will say, like, you know, I told you all that I went to Sundance, and then, you know, I've been writing articles and I've been teaching and I've been traveling. So everything is really good. It's just sometimes some days I'm like, I really wish I could just rest. And but I'm blessed. I can't complain. So I'm just going to sit here and continue to count my blessings and continue to keep working. So, what about you?
Yeah, no, I've been busy. And I have more travel coming up this month, which now I don't want to do because I don't want to be on these filthy airplanes with people that can't wash their hands. And
yeah, ooh. And people still don't wash their hands. I went to the movies this week and I watched a guy literally walk out of the bath. Like, he literally was using the restroom, looked at me, and walked right out of the bathroom. And I just looked at him like, are you not, do you not fear dying? Like, wash your hands. But
I mean, I've always been... You know, my OCD is around germs and disease anyway. So I'm always like fascinated when people don't wash their hands in the bath. Like I just can't, I don't have words for it. I just can't understand why and how you wouldn't do that. But right. Now with all this extra stuff, I'm just like, oh my God, I can't be around people. I need to go into like hiding. Where or get one of those plastic bubbles and just put it around me so that I can exist in the world. But yeah.
Bubble Boy. That was a cute movie. But
it's going to be me.
Gosh, no. So yeah. But anyway, it's good to know that you're okay. I'm okay for now. And we are going to kind of jump into this week's episode. So as you all know, these last couple of weeks, the internet has been abuzz with a little bit of everything. And there have been so many different things that me and Kevin have kind of gone back and forth about, like wanting to discuss for this in particular episode. But we decided that we were going to get into an episode. And I don't know if we should, you know, title it or if we should give it the title, you know, Stay in Your Lane or something to that advance. But ultimately, we're going to be discussing a little bit about kind of what's been going on within like the social media world and around all of the stuff that's happening between like Twitter and social media and stuff. So, yeah, what has been your thing? So I guess I'll go ahead and I'll introduce the topic. We had decided that we were going to talk a little bit about this week, this idea of folks who are ultimately taking up spaces in different places. So not wanting to specifically talk about, okay, so let's go back because it's so much. And I feel like so many people have covered it. And I feel like so many people have said a lot about it. So it's like, how do we find our place in the conversation? And I think that that's what I'm really trying to do in my mind right now. So I would say, so let's kind of go back to the beginning of where this conversation and where all of this stuff started. So a couple weeks ago,
It's only been a couple weeks. It feels like a year ago.
It really does. Already. But it's only been like 2-3 weeks. It's literally only been like 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But yeah, 2 or 3 weeks ago, Jameela Jamil had tweeted out, you know, this celebratory, you know, type tweet in relation to her landing a position on a television show on HBO that is rooted in, it's basically some sort of competition ballroom conversation type show and she basically noted that in so many words. And again, I didn't fully read the article that other folks have put out. There have been multiple articles that have been put out about this. But ultimately, you know, she's saying that she's not a host. However, it's being reported that she's a host, and basically everybody on Twitter lost their mind. We had a lot of people that were basically people that were dragging her, being very upset, basically saying, how does this, you know, assumedly straight woman have the space or the right to take up this opportunity when there are thousands of other trans individuals, specifically Black trans individuals, who could take this position. However, the bigger part in all of this was, and where everyone was really upset, was around this idea of her basically not knowing anything about ballroom culture, and this idea that ballroom culture as a whole for the last few years has been heavily commodified. And so we were left kind of with this, you know, I don't really know how to posit it, but I know that it was kind of left with this larger idea or this larger concept that a lot of folks were like, you know, kind of centering around. Does she have a place to take this opportunity, or is she taking the opportunity away from someone else? And so I really kind of went into, you know, I've had several folks reach out to me and ask me for my thoughts, because I'll be very transparent. I am good friends with Jameela, and I try to be very mindful about how I posit my thoughts around her, because I don't what I don't want to become, and this is something I hope that we can also get into as we have this conversation, is that I don't want to become a bully in the sense of like coming for her just because I can come for her. Like I always like to navigate these conversations with care. So I guess that's kind of like the first question that, you know, we really wanted to touch on today is, you know, like what space, what place do, you know, straight people per se? And then, so there was something else too. Again, this, I feel like I'm talking so much, so I'm really sorry. No. but I feel like there's also this thing that where she came out as queer right after all of this happened. And she said, that's the reason why I have a place in this. And so it's just a mess. And I just was like, how do we make sense of all of this? You know?
Yeah. I have probably opinions on this that aren't shared by the majority of people, but like, mm-hmm. I didn't have a problem with it. Yes, in a perfect world, these things would be, right, you know, trans women would be producing this, but like, you have to put this in context of what's going on. First of all, you have to have a name attached to a show. And she's not even, not saying that she's some huge name that's going to draw a crowd, but after, I didn't even know who Jameela Jamil was until The Good Place. Like, that's how I was introduced to her.
Right.
And that character. And I didn't know about all her hosting experience. So that's another thing. Like, she has all of this hosting experience, which can be part of being asked to do a show like that. But mm-hmm. if you think about how it's not new, right? Madonna did this, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and made this hit off of Vogue. And we've talked about Paris is Burning before and Jenny Livingston, the director, right? There's always people involved in bringing these stories to a bigger stage that aren't necessarily of the community, but are, I don't want to say necessary because they shouldn't have to be necessary, but in this world that's not a perfect world, it involves like some of that negotiation. So, right, I thought the problems came from the misinformation that she was kind of named as a much bigger role than what she actually had, which was then when she stepped in and tried to say, hey, this is being misreported. I am part of the show, but you know, there's these other people from Ballroom that are the hosts and that are the main, because mm-hmm. I don't remember now what exactly her role is. She's not a judge. She's just kind of there to like,
she's like a moderator almost.
Yeah. Moderator. Yeah. I don't know. And I see this, the way people react online to these things, I feel like is so vicious mm-hmm. that, and I'm not trying to say like, oh, let's feel bad for her. Oh, let's, you know, well, actually I am in some ways. I did kind of feel bad for what she went through. I think she then, this thing about coming out as queer is like a reason like that she should be involved. Like, I still think she's just as much not of the community. You can be queer and not be part of Ballroom. Like, that doesn't really sync up necessarily. And it sucks that she, mm-hmm. she felt like she had to do that to, I don't know if she actually was saying like, I do belong, or just that it was so much being assumed about her that she came out and like, it just happened to be around this thing. Anyway, I just see, I think this happens all the time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, RuPaul's Drag Race, is everybody that's a guest judge involved in drag? I don't think so, right? Mm-hmm. You know, there's all of these things that all the attack just like centers on one thing rather than the entire issue. And the thing became Jameela Jamil, and she got thrown under the bus. And I know she's done and said some things before in the past, and people love to attack her about mm-hmm. stuff that
how problematic she is. Yeah. And things that she's done in the past. Yeah.
And taking up space that could be given to others. But, and that's true. That's all true. But if she wasn't taking up space, would people be attacking her for doing nothing? I feel like we've,
right.
I feel like we're in this vitriolic place where you do something, you're attacked. You don't do something, you're attacked. So what's better?
So you bring up a really good point, because even in the conversations that I've had with her and folks like her, you know, that are they consider themselves to be very, you know, very strong supportive allies or even accomplices to the community. They have said the same thing. They're like, I feel like I can't do anything right. And it's not to say, like I said, I feel like for me, this is, you know, because people have been asking me, you know, John, are you going to take a side? And I'm like, no, I'm not taking a side, because I see both sides of the coin. I understand that everyone is saying she's taking up space in the community. Okay, that's fair. And that's also the truth. But there's also this truth, too, of like, you know, the industry has only provided so much space for us to even exist. So who else would they get that's not already busy or taxed to even do this if they could do it? You know, because I was just in conversation with Angelica Ross and I was talking to her about it. And she ultimately looked at me and said, even if they were to ask me, I couldn't do it because I'm doing so much at this point. I don't have the capacity to do it. You know, so because everyone's asking her because she's a very prominent face in terms of like queer trans representation. So it's just, it is disheartening to know that, you know, we tear people down in the midst of wanting to do good work. But you do ask a really good question. Like, when can someone do something right and it be enough? You know? So.
Yeah. And that becomes a question around, I don't want to have this conversation really, but like goes back to allies and what. What is an ally? What can an ally do? You know, I've said I don't think they exist, but there's this thing that happens. So I just wonder, I always ask, like, what's the alternative, right? We're mad at her saying yes to this project. Well, there's a couple of levels. Like, we're mad that she's in it. We're mad that the people above that are putting the show together went to her and asked her to do it, that she said yes rather than saying, right? So some people say, well, what a true ally would do is to say, I would love to be on this show, but really someone from the ballroom should be in the place of da 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 da. Well, if we read the whole thing about the show, there are people as the judges, as the knowledgeable people that are trying to bring that culture and that art form to a wider audience. And what about the role of someone learning about it as she goes on the show? Like, that can also be an important and educational role for people to see, because then you have, like, and again, this shouldn't have to be true, but it often is, like, a wider audience that's not familiar with everything learns along with the person that's on the screen that's learning it at the same time. And she's not there to judge it or necessarily critique it, but to be there and learn it and like just be like the moderator of the show, or the, I don't want to say host because that's not the word they were using, but it's just like,
right.
You know, if you watch a show like So You Think You Can Dance, you have that British or Australian, whatever she is, lady that just stands there. She doesn't judge the dancing. She just kind of like talks to the contestants. And she's not a dancer. She's not trained as a dancer. But she, you know, that part, there's someone has to play that role. And yes, it would be great if everyone could be from that community, but then does it even get made as a show? Like,
right.
I just go in circles because I feel like everything goes in circles, and this has been the same conversation that everyone, and people just like to get mad at it online because it feels good to let out that frustration, and all that frustration is directed at a particular person. Not at the actual thing that's going on. And that's what I think sucks so much. I just, you know, we talk about social media all the time, but it's like, you know, you're saying this is about accountability and social justice and being woke and, you know, doing the right thing, but it's also bullying. Like, it also becomes, so like, when is the line? And I see this in so many different issues and cases and around different things. And, you know, some British reality star just committed suicide over. I mean, I don't want to say this is the one reason why this happened, but right, it can definitely if someone's
it can push people over.
Yeah, it's not it won't necessarily be the one thing to make an otherwise very mentally healthy person think about that. But if someone's already having a tough time, and I mean, I've been on the other end of it. I've not been, you know, so down at those moments that I've necessarily considered that, but I've definitely been like, I never want to fucking leave the house again. I'm shutting down everything. You know, it can, it weighs on you. And I'm just like, I can't imagine the levels of someone that's famous and a celebrity getting all of this stuff thrown at them. And like, there's better ways to have these conversations, I think. And there's more, you know, if someone goes out and says something blatantly racist, then there's like a little more room to be directing anger at a person. But just over like a casting in a show, it feels really strange to me to have this much anger directed at one person, not at a system.
Yeah, so I think you bring up a lot of great points, and I think what I'm listening in as I'm like trying to kind of put my thoughts in order, I'm thinking about this idea, and we talked about this when we were going back and forth via text yesterday, like, you know, this idea of accountability. And so I think what's happening here, and I think this is what some people have missed. So then there are kind of two pieces that are at play here. You know, there's a history that Jameela has said and done some things online that has been severely problematic to people, right?
Yes.
And so I think what ends up happening is when we start talking about these conversations about accountability and who do we hold accountable and how do we hold people accountable, I sometimes think that people miss the idea of like being compassionate in the process of holding people accountable because of the history or because of the past interactions they've had with said individual. So, I mean, I'm not even talking specifically about Jameela per se, but talking about individuals like Jameela who have a very large platform and have said and done some things that are problematic in the past, and then they do something else and then everyone dogpiles on them. Right. Yeah. So I think that's ultimately kind of what's at bay here. But like I had even explained to her when she reached out to me, you know, I was just talking back and forth with her the other day. And I think this is one of the things that I can say. There were some things that we talked about that I will not share with folks. But then there are things that, you know, I feel like we can share. And I did explain to her that I feel like we live in a culture now where people have, and we've said this before on other shows prior, that a big part of this whole accountability movement is people who have found their voice and they know they have a big voice and they know that their voice will move people to retweet and move people to like. And so they've learned how to use these opportunities to benefit their brands and to benefit their voices and the ways that their brands work in terms of being mean or being somewhat what I like to claim as dogpiley. But the other piece that I was saying too, that I really wish that we you know, and this is something I was trying to help her understand, and I think in a very loving way, I was saying like these issues are much bigger because it's easier to get to come for her because she's a woman, right? It's easier because she's a woman of color. And so yes, a woman of color, yes, a woman, she has a 1 point, you know, something million followers. Yeah, you know, you would think she would be quote unquote smarter, but I go, why are we not coming for the execs or the people who made the decision to cast her in this show the same way that we're coming for her? Because we've gotten so complacent and so comfortable with the idea that that's just the way that the industry is, right? And so that's what really, I think for me, really pisses me off in this moment of everything. Like, it's not even about her for me anymore. It's not even about her having this job. It's about this idea that we have all, as a society, become so okay with specifically these white men in these very powerful roles, you know, just kind of casting whoever the hell that they want because representation doesn't mean anything to them. And then we go after the people who are genuinely just trying to live and trying to work because she's like, I'm a woman of color and I'm just trying to eat, right? Like she has that right. She has that right to say, I'm just trying to live and I'm trying to eat. And so I'm not trying to defend her, but what I am trying to say is that I think we've lost, like, and that's the thing that I feel like I'm going to always kind of come back to in these conversations of like, what's right, what's justice, what's not. I feel like we've lost so much compassion in the ways that we have these conversations and who we have these conversations with, because everyone's trying to get a retweet. Everyone's trying to land their next article. Everyone's trying to get the visibility so that they can be seen as the loudest voice in the room. Mm-hmm. And hurting people in the process of doing that. Mm-hmm. Like, for them, it's not that Jamila has to sleep at night. Jamila, you know, is on medication for anti-anxiety. No one's thinking about that. And I'm not saying that she is, right. But I'm just saying, like, no one's thinking about the larger part of this conversation because everyone's so caught up in trying to be that big bad bulldog on, you know, within the courtyard, you know, so.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, the real conversation is, what the fuck does anyone mean by accountability? Because I think people are just, well, also, and I wish, you know, you're talking about these people who have brands and followings and using it for, or misusing it for, you know, however, whatever ways, because they know that latching on to a social justice-y issue, whichever one is kind of, and I'm not downplaying these issues by any means. These are things we have to talk about, but they need to be talked about in ways that are actually productive and not just screaming on social media. I wish people could inform themselves about the history of this stuff. Like, this doesn't start with Jamil and this show. Like I'm saying, you know, you have these instances of this happening all throughout. And to me, Madonna's is the most egregious. But the gays still love Madonna. Like, don't get me wrong. Definitely. We cannot come for Madonna. Even though what she did to me, and I know there's criticisms of all of these things, but what she did was actually using it for her benefit, not benefiting the other dancers, anyone, just to make this catchy song, which isn't even a great, like, it's not even a good song. But, in my opinion, one of her better songs. So it's like, people shout about it, people yell about it without also knowing the history, because people think that the follower count, it equals how knowledgeable they are about an issue.
Correct.
Like, it's, or how authentically they should be engaged in an issue, but they don't have to. I mean, I can't help but liken it to school. Like, you don't have to go to school to be knowledgeable about an issue, but it's like you're yelling about, you know, feminism that you just learned what feminism means, but you haven't read any of the history of where it comes from and what, you know, because you can do those things on your own, but you need to be informed about what you're saying, especially now where it's like misquotes, misinformation go viral with no one checking, and 3 days later you realize that so-and-so didn't actually say that, but it's too late. Just like, I mean, and that's kind of how this got off, because the people promoting the show were trying to highlight Jamila's voice and name, and she was like, hey, let's back up. I'm not the main piece of it. She was actually trying to do something good, putting aside for a second that she'd already taken the job, right? Whatever, that's done. She was trying to say, hey, this isn't about me. I'm like one of the people in the background. Let's focus on
The people at the foreground.
Yeah, X, Y, Z. These people that are all going to be amazing in their roles. And so I can absolutely understand how it feels like you can never do anything right in that sense. Because then she got, and then it all took a turn. Like, I'm not even talking about the rest of the stuff. She felt like that was a moment. And I also don't think you can then dogpile on her again for feeling like coming out at that moment might help or might put something in more perspective or might give, you know, it was a little defensive, but like, you can't like jump on that either. That's just another, like, we have lost our compassion. And I'm not for, you know, I've said a million times, I don't believe in like the politics of civility and that's going to get you further. But there has to be a way to talk about these things in terms of compassion. You don't have to be kind and civil all the time, especially around these issues, because they there's so many years of history and anger.
It's very nuanced.
But can we still have compassion for the person you're yelling at, or I don't know, some kind of perspective?
So you bring enemy in, and that's the other thing too. Like, I think about this, you know, I've seen people ask this question on social media before, you know, can we have these type of conversations on social media? And that's why I think it's so important. And I think for me, like, that's the one thing I will say, like, I'm so thankful, you know, as much as all of, because I even had to explain to her, you know, I said, I have not been extremely vocal on everything surrounding that, because one, at the time it was all happening, I didn't have the capacity to be going back and forth with people, because, you know, I was in between flights, I was in between classes, I was in between grading, I was in between a lot of stuff. And so I had pulled back a lot in relation to, you know, all of the stuff that was happening around the conversation. But I did DM her and say, hey, girl, like, this is my perspective, and this is the way I see it. And if you want to take it, then fantastic. And what you do with it is on you. And so I think that it really comes back to, you know, I think Francesca Ramsey's book, you know, about wow, that escalated quickly is a great example of what happened in this situation in relation to her book, right? It's this idea that, you know, 240, I mean, and just imagine if we only still had 120 characters, but the idea that 240 characters in one article can only give you a very small footage of what ultimately is transpiring. And so that's something that I will also say too, like, I'm thankful that I have enough people around me who are in the industry that can pull me to the side now and say, hey, girl, before you go on that rant, just understand that this is the way things work in this industry. And there's nothing you can really say or do about it. Even if you are upset about it, you know, Jamila, like I said, I think in all of this, and this is what this is the reason why Jamila is still good with me. And I know people I've lost followers over it. I've lost friendships with editors over it. I get it. I know people have problems with her, and I know people have issues with where she stands in this world. I personally don't. And so what I understand is that Jamila, like anybody who's trying to do good work, is trying to do good work and is still in the process of understanding what's a landmine and what's not. And I think that that's the thing that's so hard about this industry. And I say this industry when I'm talking about being a public figure and also being extremely vocal about injustices. You never know when you're going to step on a landmine or whose feelings you're going to touch wrong or who you're going to make feel a certain way, because you can't appease everybody. And so I think that that's been the hardest thing for me. Even that's the reason why I think to a degree I've stepped back, because I've said, like, I'm tired of trying to make everybody happy in regards to who I'm friends with, who I'm not friends with, who I hang out with, who I don't hang out with, you know, where I write, where I don't write. It's like, I just need to be able to survive. And if you don't see eye to eye with what I do, then don't follow me. Like, you don't have to follow me. You don't have to engage with me. And I think that that's the same thing with Jamila. Like, I think Jamila is doing the best that she can with what she has. And I just wish, I'll be very transparent, like, I just wish that we were more kind to folks like her, who, where I feel like the intent of what they do is coming from a good place. You know, I will say, like I said, I will own that she has done some extremely problematic things and has made people feel some type of way. But I think that's why so many people as a whole are leaving the social justice movement, because they're going, I'm tired of being, you know, I'm just tired of people being mean. You know, I'm trying to do good work. I'm trying to be a good person. I'm trying to make this world a better place. And every time I do, I'm always being, you know, treated a certain type of way, or I'm being dragged in some type of capacity.
Yeah.
So, you know, you ask a really good question, like, what is accountability? Like, how do we get to a place of doing accountability right?
Yeah, because I feel like people just use it as an excuse to be rude. At this point, like, oh, this is about accountability, so it doesn't matter if I trash this person's reputation. It doesn't matter if I reveal stuff I shouldn't be sharing online. It doesn't matter if I, you know, because all bets are off now that it's about accountability.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's like you said, it's gotten to a point with me where I really don't, I'm definitely trying to navigate things in a different way, which just means like saying less online.
Yeah.
I went through and I was like deleted like 500 follow. Like I had to unfollow so many people because I just can't. Mm-hmm. I can't see it constantly. Certain people, and it. I know people say this, but it like really did hit me that it's like, it's not personal about this. I just cannot be bombarded with this in my timeline and feed constantly all day because right. I know these real life issues wear people down, but it also wears, I mean, I don't want to say, but it's just like, it's just constant negativity. Mm-hmm. And I can't, and I'm like a pessimistic person in general, but I can't operate with that much, and I guess like uninformed negativity, that really drives me. Like it just is so wild to me because I see people being so rude to one another, and I guess I think there's a difference between. So I'm not for like politeness and civility, but I am for kindness and compassion. Yeah. You can do both of those. You can have both of those things and them be true. But everyone thinks that now, like, accountability in this new social justice landscape is an excuse to be rude. And I don't like it.
No, you're right. And I think so even, you know, even down to, like, this idea of, like, you know, arguing versus like having a debate versus having, you know, and arguing with someone, like you can genuinely be kind and still debate or have a disagreement with someone. And I think a great example of that, like someone had brought up, or at least I was watching judge accordingly, but I was watching, you know, The Real Housewives of Atlanta. And I think, you know, it was Cynthia who made the comment. She was like, you know, we don't, she was talking to her partner, but this, I feel like it was something that could be said across the board. She said, we don't know how to argue. And I think that's the thing that I feel like a lot of people, like there's an art to like arguing a point. There's an art to taking, like being mindful of like, I want to have this discussion with you, but I don't want to cause you harm. And I think that that's the thing that I think for me and all of this is what really like sticks out and what jumps out for me is that, you know, I said this on someone else. I was on another podcast and I made the same comment that I said earlier about holding the people at the top accountable because they are the ones with the power. Like, I genuinely believe that, you know, you can still tell Jamila, okay, I don't agree with this, you know, and I don't feel like this is a good idea, blah, 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 blah. But I feel like there are ways that people manipulate and move and write their tweets to where it's like cunty and it's like shady and it's like, oh, I got that jab in, girl, you know. And it's just like, you know, why do we have to do that? Like, why does everything always have to be about a jab when it could simply just be? And I think that that's partly why I'm so in love with Francesca Ramsey, because I see her, like you talk about this concept of civility. I see her bring people to task and I see her bring issues to the forefront, but she always does it in a way where there is so much tact. Like, there is so much, like, you can tell it's very calculated. It's very, you know, like, it's very anticipated. Like, you can tell she has really set with her tweets, or she's set and written it down and said, okay, how can I say this and still get my point across without it coming across as me trying to be messy? And I wish more people, you know, had the... You know, I just look at some people and I just go, you know, you're hurting, and social media has made you feel seen and feel valid. And so now you're utilizing this opportunity to feel like you can get out whatever anger or whatever animosity you have at the world by using and dragging another individual. So, you know, I don't believe, you know, I guess where for me, what I guess I'm what I'm trying to say is that I don't feel like accountability means having to be nasty. I don't feel like it gets anybody anywhere by constantly feeling like we have to drag people, constantly feeling like we have to, you know, be, you know, what's the word I'm looking, be shady, you know, be shady just to quote unquote, get the clicks and get, you know, and get the likes. It really just is, you know, for me, I just wish we were more kind to one another. And I feel like that's ultimately something that has been lost, not only with just social media, but just in the world in general. Like, I just wish people were more kind.
Yeah. Well, it shows itself a lot, especially in politics, like, which I hate too. Like, we're in the middle of this nonstop crazy what's it called, the primary season or whatever. you know, and you have all that narrative about Bernie Bros from 2016 and whatnot. And there's like bad behavior on all sides, but I want it. I've been trying to give, this is like a kind of a right turn, a left turn, but I think it's the same point. I've been trying to give, I don't like Bernie Sanders. I don't like him as a person. Mm-hmm. I don't like his leadership style and I don't like his personal affect. But I do agree with his policies, and I've been trying to work through that a lot. I don't believe he will be my vote in the primary. I like Elizabeth Warren more, but if Bernie mm-hmm. Sanders becomes the nominee, I'd be happy to vote for him. But I've been trying to have conversations and be like, can we at least just talk about this? Like, I'm not against what he's saying. I just want to have a conversation about what personally is turning me off from him and maybe what you think about that. But nobody can do it mm-hmm. because it's like, oh, go to hell. You're stupid and you don't want, you know, a multiracial coalition of people to have healthcare for all. I'm like, whoa, no, that's not what I said. Like, mm-hmm. everyone's just so at each other that it, there's no compassion for anything, and we can't disagree about small things
mm-hmm.
because, right, there's still this huge, why not coming together over this? Like, you're angry about it. All right, let's make it known. Right. Jamila definitely knows about it. And in the past, she's been told about things too. And to her credit, mm-hmm. she accepts it for what it's worth.
Yeah.
Some people might say she doesn't learn because she repeats things, but everyone repeats mistakes and we're all learning all the time. And so I don't like this. Oh, well, she had one shot. She had two shots, whatever. And now we're just going to go at her for everything. But come together about, okay, what can we do to make this show better and make this show shine? Like, it's the same thing with Pose, with Ryan Murphy behind it. And,
right.
you know, we talked about how that made, you know, ooh, how's this going to come out? It turns out it came out pretty well. right. This could have that same opportunity. We're not even given the chance to see, like, the first episode, to see how this all plays out. Before right. the canceling and the anger and the
mm-hmm.
and, you know, it's worked to some in some ways, like, you know, they were going to do that Confederate show on HBO that ended up getting pulled after all this backlash online. Okay, that's one thing, but it's like we're trying to cancel things before they even get here. So then mm-hmm. so then what? There's just no show that right. highlights ballroom, or, you know, we're like, oh, well, we don't want it unless it's, well, it's going to take another 20 years for that show to come out mm-hmm. or for someone mm-hmm. to raise the money to get that show out. Not saying it should, but it will. And so then there's just no show. Okay, you know, what's the trade-off yeah. here? We have to be both idealistic and practical at the same time. You know, there's yeah. ways to, and I'm not saying like, oh, gradual change, but there's ways to, if this show is happening, make it the best show it can be and the most I can't think of the word, the most, I want to say compassionate, but that's not yeah. it, but the most like realistic and
authentic,
the most authentic yeah. it can be. And then that can be a win too. And then the next show, you know, and the next thing and the next thing, there's, it just can't, I don't know. It's like you have to understand that this is how the industry works and it sucks, and you can break a lot of the rules and push for things. But if you break mm-hmm. every rule, the show might not even come out and it'll just get scrapped. Yeah. Like so many things yeah. do, you know, so many probably amazing projects never make it out. So
uh-huh.
I don't know. It just watching all yeah. of this play out all the time and just feeling like everyone's so rude to one another. It's, yeah. you know, and I'll be honest and say it makes me not want to try anymore. Like,
yeah. yeah,
you feel like, oh, and I have a pretty healthy sense of knowing that I am not, like, I don't want all accolades for, like, doing the least that a white person should do, right? I don't want that. But it's, at the same time, to be completely attacked for doing something that you're trying, that you are hoping will just make the world a tiny bit better place, makes you just want to give up completely. Yeah. And so I get that impulse. And it's not that, because then the other side of the coin is like, oh, well, you think allies should get cookies for everything they do? No. But, you know, every once in a while, a quick telling someone thank you or smiling at someone or being compassionate in a tiny way goes a long way. And we just don't see that anymore. And I guess it's part of social media's rules that it's so depersonalized, but it's still people that are, you know. What really hit me hard was when James Blake posted after all of this kind of went down, he posted, because that she's dating him, right?
Right, they're together.
Yeah, posted like a message about, but what you don't see is the person crying all night and the person, you know, like, I see this person trying to do her best, trying to use whatever she's kind of built as a platform to do better things. And all she gets is like nasty trolls yelling at her all day. And like, imagine, like, I don't know.
No, you bring enemy. And again, like I said, you know, it, I think that there's the two parts, the sides that I kind of stand on and this that I will, and I will say, I think you can, I think that they both can live at the same time is yes, we have to acknowledge when people mess up, but I also feel like we should allow people to mess up gracefully. And I feel like that's the thing that I'm trying to extend with not writing her off and not writing off a few other individuals who've reached out to me and said, you know, I did this, I said this, and it, it hurt my feelings. You know, it hurt to get the backlash, but it's a lot that I can learn. And I feel like that's kind of the same place that she's in. Like, I feel like she has the right to learn. I feel like that's what true accountability is a person saying, I know I've messed up in the past. I know I continue to fuck up, but yet I'm going to still continue to keep showing up because I understand how important it is for me to be there. And in these moments, you know, I'm also thinking about, you know, what it means for her to be in a room where she can say, this is something that happened. This was the backlash and this is what we all can learn from it. And if we don't have people like her in the room, if we don't continue to allow people like her, especially people with like her who have access to these rooms to mess up, then we're all as a whole going to suffer because, you know, I'm not in the room. I can't say, hey, that's problematic or we shouldn't do this or we should make that decision. Folks ain't checking for me. Folks ain't listening to me. I don't even have the platform that she has. So I just think about that a lot. Like, I think overall, like, I know we've said this several times and I know I feel like we probably harped this a lot on this podcast, but I just really, really wish that social justice wasn't so mean. Like, I just wish that it didn't, like, I wish that we didn't have to be mean for folks to do what's right. I wish that we didn't have to tear people down in order for other people to stand taller or to feel like they have the right voice or the right words to say. So, you know, I guess my overall statement, or at least my closing thought on this topic is, you know, we just have to in terms of holding folks accountable, you know, not only read Francesca's book, but on terms of being accountable, like, we have to get back to holding folks accountable from a compassionate stance. Mm-hmm. Like, that for me is what I take from all of this.
And not where does it end, because it should be a process, but like, when does the apology, like, we have to keep moving on. You can't, you know, another 5 years from now, when someone makes the next mistake, will be like, oh, well, remember when, da 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 da. Like, you make a mistake, you learn from it, you apologize, you know, try to rectify it in whatever ways. But I feel like the other thing online is, on social media, is to, like, cherry pick things from the past where someone has learned and done better, and then to go back to it every time. You know, you can't keep doing that. There has to be a letting go at some point of that mistake so that we can continue. Otherwise, like, and we're just stuck in the same circle of the same issues, we're not making that much progress on anything because we're just turning back on ourselves in a way. I don't know. So I guess that's my final thought.
Yeah. I feel like this was a really good conversation. And to the folks, you know, like I said, to those who listen and are genuinely in the mindset of wanting to do better, you know, continue to keep trying and know that you're going to mess up and know that you may cause harm in the process of trying to do better. But overall, like, you know, just move with compassion. Like, we just got to start moving with compassion.
Harm is going to happen. So make causing the least amount of harm possible, like, your goal or mantra, I think. You know, you can't say, well, I don't want to cause... Someone is going to be offended by something somewhere every time, I think. We're in a place now where, even if... I've seen people tweet about it. Even if you say, like, I love oranges on Twitter, someone is going to be like, how dare you fucking insult apples? Or right? So someone is going to claim harm about something. The goal is to make the least... To go into every situation trying to reduce as the most amount of harm. Cause the least amount of harm. I also think people are overusing the term abuse. And misusing the term abuse and calling harm and abuse every little thing. So we really have to be mindful of that too. But just try and cause as little harm as possible and call that a win if you're able to.
That's real. Yeah. All right. Well, so I guess we can move into our next segment. I know we haven't talked music in a while, so I wanted to bring up and see if there were any new songs or new artists or anything that you've been listening to that you want to talk about.
I have still been in my, like, old-timey, like, I've been listening to old music. I really love Yola. I don't know if I mentioned her on the show yet. She was up for a Grammy for Best New Artist and something else, Best Americana Album. Anyway, she's this black British woman, but she sings like country music, country soul music. And she just goes by her first name, Yola. She's really great. And Sun Little has a new album out that I like a lot. You know, I don't really, I'm not... We went back and forth a tiny bit yesterday or on Twitter. Like, I'm just not here for all the pop girls that are... There's nothing... Like, that Lady Gaga song came out, and I was like, okay, whatever. It's just like, it sounds nothing's, old. Nothing's moving me.
Yeah, same.
I don't know. Maybe something else from her new album will get me, but that song certainly wasn't it. And, like, I'm not into that Billie Eilish girl everyone likes.
Neither am I.
I don't even know what the big hits are on the radio, but yeah, I don't know. I'm looking forward to Normani putting an actual album out sometime, and maybe in the near future. I don't know.
Let's hope. Yeah. Normani is definitely on my radar. It was interesting to me because I remember when Doja Cat had said that her album was coming out, and I remember downloading her album, and then I heard the Say So song, and I just was like, I don't remember hearing that song on the album. Maybe I wasn't listening to the album enough to know, but Doja has definitely caught my attention. I don't know what it is about her. I think she just has great, you know, stage presence. And I think that's ultimately what's made me, like, check for her, per se. But ultimately, yeah, I definitely like Doja Cat. There have been a lot of, like, deep cut songs that I've been kind of going back to. I put together a playlist recently, and my husband was like, oh my God, all of these songs are really good. I like the Weeknd has a new song called, I think it's called Blinding Lights or something like that, it's a really good song. And I think that's kind of the gist of it. I think those are, like, the only two, like, songs per se in this moment that I think are really good, but overall, music, I just really wish music would go back to the way it was, and I know it never will.
Yeah.
But, it sucks. Yeah, it really does, so. Eh.
Oh, well.
All right. That's really all you can say is oh, well. Okay. All right, well, we're to the end of the podcast. Wanted to see if you have any, you know, gripes, anything that you wanted to share in relation to
what's been on your mind. I was going to talk about hand washing, but I already used that at the first. Oh shoot, I did have one, and now it just flew out of my head.
Oh no.
What's yours? Give me a second. Maybe it'll come back to me.
So I know we have talked a lot about, I know I've talked a lot about traveling. As you all know, I travel quite often. And I have made several comments in the past about what people do on airplanes, what people don't do on airplanes. You know, all of the things that go on in terms of flying. The thing that I think that has really been getting under my skin these last couple of times that I've had to fly, is this idea that people feel the need to constantly, like, how do I explain it? So on planes, when you're in a regular space, right? Most of the time I fly now, thank God, and I say I'm blessed enough to say that I can fly Comfort Plus. There's a little bit more extra room when you fly Comfort Plus. So that's the reason why I fly Comfort Plus, because I'm puffy and I need the extra room. However, there is still this ominous thing that a lot of cishet people, specifically cishet men, do, where they not only spread their legs, but they rest both of their arms on both of the armrests. Mm-hmm. And that is my pet peeve for today.
You only get my one. You only get one or the other, I think, should be the rule. Yep.
You only get one. You do not get both. And that has been the thing that has been driving me nuts, is that people, for some reason, believe that when they sit in the middle, that they get the left and the right arm. Nope. No, you don't, sis. That's not how it works, unless you have an aisle seat. And I have the aisle seat, so that means that I get left and right. So that is my peeve. Use one. You only get one. That's it.
I've been flying more lately too, and I'm just like, why? Oh, you know what? Why do they make you now pay more to pick your seat? This is some of them used to do this, but then like everyone's doing it now, and it's like. I even accidentally booked one of those flights where it was like, you can't even bring a carry-on unless you paid extra. So I had to pay like $30 at the gate.
The lower economy. Like, yeah, the lower economy.
What are we doing? We can't. Yeah. And then you watch like old shows from the 70s or 80s or something, and people are in airplanes with all this room smoking cigarettes and doing all this shit. It's like, what? You should be able to, it used to be Southwest was the airline where you had to line up, there were no seats, it's just like sit where you find one. But yeah. Now it's everyone, you don't get to pick your seat unless you pay like $30 extra when you're booking it. Mm-hmm. And I refuse to do it. Even if I have that $30, I'm like, I would rather spend it on anything else. I shouldn't have to pay to pick the seat.
Right.
And also, I guess, it's just like boarding an airplane. Why can't we just board from the back to the front? Why is it all this like gold medallion members, Comfort Plus? I mean, I guess that's like fine, but then you end up standing there waiting for people to put all their shit in the overhead compartment. Like,
if you boarded
the plane with the seats from the back to the front, it would be so.
We wouldn't have this problem.
It would solve everything. I just don't understand why. I mean, yes, if you need like extra help or whatever, you know, disabled people, you know, they call that out. And like, I get that. If you're traveling with like 1,000 strollers and kids, like, I feel less. So, I don't feel really that bad for you. That was your own choice. But okay, you might need a little extra help. So okay, they can go first, but then just back to front. It's not hard.
Yeah. Flying as a whole has become way more complicated than what it needs to. I have had several moments with TSA where I'm like, really, sis? Yeah. Like, really? And I have pre-check and I'm still like, really? Really, sis? This is what we're doing? So, yeah. I mean, we could probably do a whole entire episode on flying alone, right, about how terrible airplanes are. But yeah, ultimately, just across the board, everybody just be kind and nice to one another. The world is too, the time is too short. The coronavirus is going to get us all.
Right.
We got to be kind while we're here. So, yeah, other than that, that's pretty much it for this week's episode. Thank you, everybody, so much for tuning in. Again, we will do our best to try to become more regular with the show. Continue to rock with us, continue to support us, and continue to tell your friends to subscribe. We always love it when we see new people subscribe and hit us with messages saying that they love the show, etc. So, yeah, with that, do you have any announcements or anything you want to share with folks?
I'll be in Albany next week on the 11th. I will be in Charlottesville, Virginia on the 20th. For the book, a big book festival there. And I'll be in Boise, Idaho, the end of the month on the 28th for like, they have a big music festival, the music festival called Tree Fort. I don't know where the name comes from, but they have like all these different ones. And so they have like Story Fort, which was authors and writers and people. And so I'll be doing a talk there on the 28th. So if you're in any of those places, come out and say hi. You can find information on my website and Twitter too. So yeah, you go, where will you be?
Okie dokie. So honestly, I don't have anything planned for the month of March, April. I have a couple of speaking engagements that's local. And then I am in, I'll be doing a couple of residencies and things in the month of May. But for the most part, I'm just doing a lot of, like a crap ton of writing. I have a whole bunch of stories that are due and I'm just really trying to get them done. So yeah, if you're interested and you read my stuff, continue to look out for it. There, like I said, I have a couple of big articles coming your way. So, yeah, that's it. All right. Well, that's another episode of Learn, and we will definitely be back in the next couple of days. All right. Bye.